How is everybody today? I am overrun with allergies, but I'm going to be okay. Anybody else overrun with allergies? We're having a little sympathy group after the service. We'll be meeting under the tree with cookies and donuts. And histamines, thank you, yes. That's right. There's a stubbornness in the room. In first service, I shared with people that there I felt kind of a heaviness in the body of Christ and a need to kind of offload some things. And I just kind of prayed, and then we went into I just taught the passage. And now I'm coming into second service, and I'm kind of sensing the same thing. So I'm trying to decide here right away what to do. So just hang with me a minute. You guys are all like, I mean, I know I don't do that very often, but you know, sometimes we got to break through, you know, sometimes we got to push through. And we have the most amazing promise from God. And that promise goes like this: come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest for your souls. Jesus says, I am humble in heart. So he says, come and bring those things to me and offload them at my feet. In fact, then he goes on to say, take my burden upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, one of the reasons I love that passage so much is that it gives us a guideline by which to answer the question, am I carrying the Lord's burden, or am I carrying my own? Because the Lord's burden is easy. The Lord's burden is light. And I see so many born-again Christians who are just laboring under issues and circumstances in their lives. And there's just, I don't know if it's an unwillingness. I referred to it as a stubbornness a moment ago. I'm not exactly sure that's the right word. But there's just a resistance. There's just a resistance to kind of lay it before God and trust him and really, truly trust him. And I understand that because I'm made of the same material you are. And with all the warts and wrinkles that go along with it, I understand, I know what we're dealing with when we're challenged to just rest in the Lord. But it frustrates me a little bit in my heart when we just don't do that, when we hold back. And so, you know, boy, we just really need to be a people. I think we need to be a people who learn to run quickly to the throne of grace. Don't you think? We have such an amazing opportunity. You know, I watch what people go through. I you guys know that I'm kind of a news person. I like watching, listening, reading the news. It's probably not good for me. I should probably knock it off. But honestly, I see what people are going through in this world. I don't know how they do it apart from God. I have absolutely no idea how they deal with life apart from being able to take things to Jesus and to offload them there and to say, God, I trust you. And I don't understand this. I don't get this. I don't like this, but I know that I can't continue to carry it either. And I need to trust you, and I need to lay it before you, and I need to just take you at face value when you tell me that there is an open invitation to bring these things. And you know, I think there's a vast number of the body of Christ that they're like, I don't even know how to do that. You're sitting here talking about bringing things to God. I don't even know how to do that. I'm just like, I'm clueless. How do you bring things to God and trust him, you know, with the outcome? How do you do that even? And then there's another whole group of people, and I'll bet some of you can relate, who say, well, I just keep taking things back again, right? Huh? I mean, people say that to me all the time. Well, I pray, but then I just keep taking it back. Well, We take things back because our faith stumbles at that place of trust, at that place of really laying it before Him and trusting Him with the outcome. That's why we take things back. Let's just face it, guys. Our faith is weak. We want to put our trust in God. We really want to believe that He's going to take care of things. But we've become so adept at doing things on our own, taking care of things on our own. And the world, of course, even exalts doing things on our own. And we've heard some of that coming through, you know, our hearts too, because of the people we work with, maybe the people that in our family who are kind of hounding us and so forth. You just need to take the bull by the horns. And pretty soon we're a mess. So we need to learn to trust God, don't we? To lay our very lives. Some of you older guys, there used to be this commercial for Nest Tea a number of years ago. Do you guys remember that? Where they would take the Nest Tea plunge. The whole idea of the commercial was that drinking Nest Tea was so refreshing that it was kind of pictured by this person falling back into like a pool. And that's what they did on the commercial. This person would just fall back and just... And, you know, it probably was great, and they probably sold a lot of tea. But I always remembered, I always have that picture in my mind of taking the Nest Tea plunge into God's arms. You know, that whole laying back and just letting God handle it, take care of it, or whatever. It's the, kind of that abandon, that reckless abandon of just saying, Lord, I'm going to put my life in your hands. And we're going to see what you can do. I don't know how many of you are tired of seeing how what you do in your life turns out. You know, I get tired of that in my own life. In fact, God usually has to bring me to a place of being so tired of it that I'm so sick and tired of it that I'm ready to change. But I have to usually do that for a while, and He'll let me do that. He'll let me go through my life doing my own thing, fixing my own issues, trying to work it out in my own strength until finally I'm so tired, I'm so exhausted, and nothing's getting any better that I am at the end of myself. Are some of you guys at the end of yourself today? Are you at the end of what you can humanly accomplish? I want to just encourage you today that if you're there, that's a good thing. And some of you may have come here this morning literally at the end of yourself, at the end of your rope, at the end of your resources. And you may have come here today feeling very defeated and very discouraged and even depressed about the circumstances that you're dealing with and the situations that you're being confronted by, in the sense that you're about ready to give up. You're about ready just to kind of throw the towel in a sense, and just say, I can't do this anymore. Precious one, may I just encourage you this morning with the idea that God is ready to catch the towel, and that throwing in the towel is probably a really, really good idea from the standpoint of giving it to Him and letting Him take care, letting Him work things out, and letting Him deal with the circumstances that are just causing you such pain and such stress and such a challenge in your life today. If we could only see things from God's perspective, if we could back away from our lives for just a little bit and look at what we're doing from His perspective, here He is, the God of the universe with all power. You know, and we're sitting here magnifying Him. We sang this song this morning, you know, be blessing and honor and glory and power. It's all yours, God. It's all yours. And we do that with one voice, and then with the next voice, we say things like, I'm scared and I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do next. You know? And it comes out of our mouth in a way that we don't even kind of recognize the contradiction. Or the, you know, the two-sidedness of it. To glorify the Lord, to worship the Lord in the splendor of His majesty, recognizing His power and glory and grace and strength and wisdom and insight and all those other things. And then at the same time, coming out of that time of worship and just and being once again just bound up, you know, so that we can hardly move. I just have such a burden on my heart this morning for that very thing. And boy, you know, maybe I'm sitting here preaching to myself. I don't know. But I just really want to encourage those of you who are tied in knots that God is so patient and so loving and so merciful. If you'll hand all those snarls and knots to Him, He will untie them for you. If you will trust Him. And resist the temptation to jump out ahead and take it out of His hands and try to fix it yourself. Because that's where we're at, isn't it? I mean, that's where a lot of us live. That's our address. I'm just constantly taking things away from God because I'm really not trusting Him like I should. Let me pray for you guys for just a minute. And I'm praying for myself too, so just, here we go. Jesus, we love You, but we have to confess to You today, we have not taken Your word at face value as it relates to this whole issue of really truly trusting You. Really truly putting our hope in You. Really truly laying our lives at Your feet. And really truly resting while You accomplish what we cannot. We confess, Father God, that we have stepped into the place of control again and again and again. And what we confess about that, Lord, is why we've done it. We've done it because we just don't trust You. We say that we do and we want to, but we don't. And our faith is small. And we confess that to You as well. And it has become such a habitual process in our lives of just taking the lead that we have hardly remember how to follow and submit. And yet, Lord, You've called us to follow Your lead, to let You be the leader, the Lord of our lives. We call You Lord, and it's good because that's what You are. But Lord, we are confronted today with the question of whether we have made You Lord. Really, truly crowned You Lord of all. We pray this morning in the name of Jesus that we would start fresh today in that whole issue of lordship. And that we would lay before You all of the things in our life and tell You how we're feeling about it. And then pray that You would strengthen our hearts to live for You, to trust You, to be filled with hope. God is in control. Father, we've heard people say things like that. Some of us have even rolled our eyes, not because we don't believe it, but because we've never experienced it. Forgive us, Lord, for not walking it out by faith, for not trusting You, and for letting life scare us into doing our own thing. Jesus, lead us, we pray. Lead us, we pray. Take the burden. We give it to You. Direct our hearts as You see fit. Bring about the end of things as You see fit. Work them out according to Your will. We can't do it. We just can't do it, Lord. We don't have what it takes. We ask you, we invite you to do that work, God, that only you can do. We ask it, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, while I was praying, I got a picture of, you ever do that when you're praying? Just, you have things going through your head, and pictures and stuff. I had this picture of Peter. I had the picture, you know, and Jesus, they're out on the boat, remember that? And Jesus comes walking to them on the water, and they freak out at first, and they're like, "Ah, it's a ghost," and this and that. And Jesus tells them, "Just chill, guys, it's me, it's me." And so Peter, remember, he says, "Lord, if it's you, let me come to you walking on the water." And Jesus said, "Okay, come." And so, you know, and this is Peter. He's a fisherman, right? So these are pretty good-sized boats. He was raised on the water all of his life. He knows what happens when you swing your legs over the boat and push off. He knows that you go into the water. He knows that. He's seen it, lived it, experienced it all of his life. And yet, in this one instance, he's like, "Lord, let me come walking on the water to you." And he pushes off and he begins to walk, right? And there's a point, you know, where the wind and the waves become so threatening that you guys remember the story. Peter kind of, he gets scared, right? And it says he begins to sink. Now, we can all relate to that because we've all felt that first of all, that sense of being buoyed by the strength of the Lord, and then we've seen things happen in our lives that were serious and scary and frightening, and we've also felt that sinking, sensation of, you know, I'm losing it here, and that's kind of what Peter was doing, is he was losing it. And you know, we look at that story of Peter, and some people have actually looked at that, and they've looked at it as a failure, and they say, "Well, you know, I can relate to that because I've failed just that way, just like Peter failed." But wait a second. Do you guys remember how the rest of the story goes? When Peter began to sink, and we do from time to time, he didn't rely on his swimming skills as a fisherman. Once again, here's a man who's been on a boat probably from the time he was able to take his first steps. He knows the water. He's, you know, he's got a healthy fear of the water, but he knows it, and I'm sure he's a fantastic swimmer. We actually know that from later on in the Gospels when they see Jesus cooking by the, you know, seaside. It's Peter who jumps in and swims to the shore. We know that he can swim. But did you ever notice in that story he doesn't rely upon all of that? Do you remember what happens when he begins to sink? The Bible says he cried out to Jesus. He said, "Save me. Save me, Lord." And what happened? The arm reached out, was just there, grabbed him by the hand, lifted him up, and pulled him into the boat. You see, it really wasn't a failure. It was just kind of life. Peter went through one of those situations or circumstances that we often go through. We are filled with faith at some point, and we begin to walk with the Lord in an almost a miraculous way. But then we begin to look at this. We begin to look at what's going on around us and the circumstances that are just overwhelming us at the moment. And what do? We begin to lose that faith. And therefore, we begin to lose that buoyancy and that ability to continue to walk miraculously by faith on the water. But it's not that part of the story that we should be focusing on. It's what comes next. It's what Peter did next that really makes the story, that really makes the whole thing for us. He cried out to Jesus, "Save me!" And he was right there. That's the part that I want to encourage you with this morning. Jesus is there when you and I struggle in our faith, and he's not going to point a finger at you and condemn you and put you down. As you cry to him and open your heart to him, say, "Lord, I'm losing it." Don't you think he knows that already? But see, what we do is we truly do sometimes walk in the failure of that thing. Rather than crying out to Jesus, we just start treading water. And that is what I've felt in my heart, and I apologize to you guys that I've not gotten into Matthew chapter 7 this morning. I'm really sorry about that. But this was just really on my heart, I just sense that there are a great many people who are treading water. And you're going through life like treading water is normal. You're literally treading water thinking that's the Christian life. And for you, you really don't know any other kind of a life. And so life is just treading water. And when the storms come, it gets harder to tread water, but you just kind of think, well, it's harder to tread water. And that's when you reach out and you maybe say, hey, you guys need to pray for me because I'm treading water here and it's getting really hard. And you know, you weren't even supposed to tread water in the first place, but you're asking for prayer so you can tread water better. And it's like, I'm really getting tired of drinking this water when it gets into my mouth because it's going over my head and I'm this and that and the other thing. And so you're asking for prayer and you're thinking, well, people are praying for me. So this is, I guess, about the best we can do. Let's just be praying for each other so that we can tread water. And Jesus is saying, wait a minute, I want you to walk on the water with me. I wanted you to walk over the top of those circumstances with me. Yeah, I know that the sea is raging. I know that the wind and the waves are really scary. But I'm here. I'm here. And if you'll keep your eyes fixed on me, and stop looking at the wind, stop looking at the waves, and keep your eyes on me, I will see you through. Now, that's a promise God gives us in His Word. Question is, are we willing to accept it? Are we willing to even embrace it, let alone accept it? Or are we going to continue just to tread water, thinking that that's just the normal Christian life? That's what I was saying at the beginning here when I said there's this resistance. I called it a stubbornness. Maybe it is. But there's a resistance here in the body of Christ to get up and begin to walk on the water with Christ and to walk in a new level of faith. Lord, I'm going to trust you, but you know, do you know what faith requires sometimes, guys? It means kicking out the support structure that you've allowed to exist around you. When Peter pushed off from the boat, he was pushing away from the only man-made support structure that there was at that time. And again, as a man raised in a boat, he knew that. He knew what he was doing. Are you willing? And that's what it takes, you guys, to walk on the water with Christ, to literally walk in a miraculous sort of a way above your circumstances and so forth, trusting in the Lord. It's pushing away from the support structure. So many times people will come for prayer and they want us to pray about their human support structure. You know, it's like they're... If you look at that same picture of Peter in the boat, well, now the boat's starting to hit against the rocks and it's starting to break apart. And their prayer is not, Lord, get me, you know, help me to walk with you over the top of this thing. It's like, Lord, let's get the boat back together. But the boat signifies that which is made by man, that which gives man the ability to stay on top of the water in his own strength. Well, brothers and sisters, do you know that there comes a time when the boat isn't enough? Do you know there comes a time when the boat is either broken up or swamped by the waves or it just can't handle the wind? And those boats are great and we thank God for them, but we don't put our ultimate trust in them. There comes that point in time where God will allow your boat to literally break up on the rocks. Oh, that can be a frightening time. And that which you consider to be the support around you, that which you depended on, that which what gave you hope that tomorrow was going to be okay. Now it's gone. And all there is left is the hand of Jesus outstretched to you. Take my hand. Let me lift you up out of this thing. Stop praying and thinking just about your boat or some of you, stop thinking about just treading water and thinking that that's enough. That is the Christian life. That is not the victorious Christian life that we're called to. The Bible says we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. That you know, when you're just treading water, that's not conquering. That's just existing. That's just getting by in your own strength. And your arms get tired and your legs get tired. And pretty soon you can't hardly take a breath. And you're coming for prayer and you're saying, I need to be strengthened. But do you see, brothers and sisters, that what you're asking to be strengthened to is something less than what God has for you? And that's what's on my heart today. Once again, I apologize that we haven't gotten to Matthew chapter 7. I'm just going to turn my tablet off here because we're not going to get to it. But I'm trusting that the Lord has maybe ministered to one or two hearts here today about this issue of letting go of the boat, not treading water any longer, just letting the Lord take care of you, letting the Lord give you the strength that you need to rise above, to rise above. Oh, I know, guys, I know. Please don't think I'm oversimplifying things. I know it's way easier said than done. I understand that. I know. When something scary happens in life, our knee-jerk response is just to, well, yeah, freak out. But Jesus is there. He's there to give us strength. He's there to give us hope. And our hope needs to be in Him. Guys, we're coming up here. I believe we're in the last days of the last days. Things are going to start heating up. I don't know, some of you who are on Facebook and friends with me, or I can't remember if I put this on Calvary Mail or not. There was an article on Fox on their website. Just I saw it yesterday, so I posted, I think, just on Facebook, but it's how Christians are being increasingly despised and persecuted right here in the United States of America. And it was a very eye-opening sort of an article, but whatever's going on, it's going to keep going on, and the need for us to get our eyes off this world is going to become increasingly necessary as we go through the next several years. And the Lord is going to have to see us through, because all the other support structures that we've had, some of the things that we've enjoyed, even in this country, are on their way out. And we just need to begin to really look to the Lord. God, you are the one. You're the one we're going to trust. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. If you will, you know what? We'll take my study from this morning and we'll edit it and we'll get it on the internet. So if you want to keep up with Matthew chapter 7, you guys can get on there. In fact, they probably even got some copies over in the bookstore. You can grab them over there too, so you can keep up with Matthew. But I felt strongly this was something that the Lord wanted me to share. And so I really wanted to do it. Do you have some? Turn on 4, would you?
And I told the Lord, I said, I'm not going to do anything unless he asks me. He doesn't ask me ever if I have something. But there was a few verses we shared at the women's breakfast yesterday. And just as an exclamation point to what the Lord had shared, I just wanted to read these to you from Isaiah chapter 30. Just the heart of the Lord here. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait, who wait for him. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." And that's a pretty precious, some precious verses for us to just stand on the words of the Lord, the words that Isaiah wrote. You know, he longs to be compassionate to us. He longs to show us mercy. As soon as we cry out for help and humble ourselves and say, "Please help," he will answer us.
Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. Lord, we so need to be reminded of our need for you, to really, truly trust you. And forgive us, Father, for settling for something other than real, true faith and rest in the Lord our God. God, forgive us for having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for displaying an impotent faith, or what in our lives might even appear as a strengthless God. Lord, you are the eternal Savior. You have borne the sin of the world on your shoulders and paid the price. And you can handle the situations in our life too. Father, I pray for everybody in this room who is feeling the winds and the waves right now mounting in their lives. And I pray, my Father God, that they would be quick to reach out to the Savior and say, Jesus, save me. Jesus, give me the strength. Jesus, fill me with hope. Take hold of my hand and see me through. Father, that is our desire, that we would walk with you in strength and power, not in weakness and in faithlessness. So, Father God, lead us in the way that we are to go. Guide us by your Spirit. Teach us to trust in you and to put our hope in you all day long as we cry out to you. We worship you. We praise you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And all God's people said together, Amen.